Hey, yes, that's true. It's another episode of the Sue B and You podcast, episode 92 with Anthony, who goes by Judy the Sue. It was great to finally get him on the podcast and talk about his build and his adventures. He goes into, like many people, how owning his Subaru has changed his life and a lot of things that he does with it. So we'll hear about that in a little bit, and also an interesting place where he was recording the episode from, which was a first. So that was pretty cool. And some surprise guests at the very, very end. So be sure to stay tuned. This episode is brought to you by SubaruGear.com, your official shop for all things Subaru. We know you love your pets as much as you love your Subaru, so you've got to check out this Vapour dog water bottle. This bottle is awesome. Not only does it fold up easily and is super lightweight, it is also dishwasher safe. Keep your pup hydrated on long walks or hikes. Your purchase also gives back. Part of the proceeds go to Drops of Hope, which aims to end single-use bottles and ensure cleaner water is accessible. With October being Subaru Loves Pets Month, celebrate your pup with this fantastic bottle. Enter the promo code SUBNU, all spelled out, at checkout to get free shipping. Thank you so much, SubaruGear.com, for sponsoring the Subi and You podcast. Well, I did it again this weekend. I went out and got my Ryka VS Tetons all muddy and dirty again. But they look so good dirty, just as much as they do clean. In addition to the Tetons, they also have the Seeker and the Detours. But you can also get or pre-order the R30 Drifters right now. So check those out as well. At Ryka, they are committed to providing you with the highest quality specialized wheels, the ones that I mentioned, and lift kits that will allow you to travel further, experience new adventures, and discover extraordinary destinations, like I did this past weekend. Ryka wants to make sure that you are ready for anything wherever adventure takes you. Ryka's flowform process creates both lightweight and durable wheels, which are of the highest quality and are built to satisfy the requirements of all of you adventure enthusiasts. Ryka lift kits raise your Subaru to protect the vehicle's underbody from damage while off-roading. The lift kits were also designed to increase the vehicle ride height in order to accommodate larger tires while maintaining the factory ride quality and alignment. The request for adventure begins with you, and Ryka is what gets you there. For the Teton, Detour, and Seeker, use the code SUBIU10 to get 10% off. But if you want to pre-order the R30 Drifter, you can use the code SUBI3035, and that code is good until October 15th, and that code gets you 15% off of the R30 Drifter. Thank you so much, Ryka VS, for sponsoring the Sue B and You podcast. Also, if you haven't done so, go check out episode 48. I had Ryka on the podcast as one of my guests. Then you can hear about all the awesome things that they are doing for the community. They are not just selling wheels. They are doing amazing things and making a difference. I have another Apple Podcast review and then a special announcement. This is from Little Ruby Subi. You'll laugh, cry, and be inspired. I found this podcast several months ago while looking for new podcasts to listen to on my long drives. The first episode I listened to was the Rian and Gelsomino episode. I have always been interested in rally racing, and hearing Rafael and Rhiannon dig into the behind the scenes was amazing. Rafael has such a variety of guests. Hearing the stories behind the builds of these cars have had me laughing, crying, and have inspired me to mod my car even more. The off-road Subaru community is not nearly as known as the tuner community. Rafael is single-handedly growing the family one guest at a time. I highly recommend this podcast for any level of car enthusiast, from the newbie who just got their first car to the ultra experienced, spends every second of the day modding their car enthusiasts. Keep up the great work, Raphael, and thank you for everything you do. Thank you, Little Ruby Subi, for that awesome review. If you are listening to Apple Podcasts, or if you are listening to this podcast using the Apple Podcast app, please go rate and review. It really helps to spread the word of the podcast and have more people find it. So I really, really appreciate the review. Thank you so much. So after you listen to this episode, go rate and review. Thank you. I know it's not Wednesday yet, but I wanted to make this announcement that this Saturday is the Gilman Subaru Southwest 13th annual big event. Bucky Lassick is going to be there. A lot of people are going to be there with their cars in the show. And I am going to be there as well. I'm going to have my podcast, my mobile podcast booth at the big event this year. So this will be my third appearance as a vendor at an event, and I'm super excited about it. I'm thankful to everybody who has supported the podcast, and then I've gotten to this point where I can be out there and have people come by and chat and put out a bonus episode, and you can have a chance, the opportunity to be on the podcast. So come by, say hi, have a chat. It'll be very similar, or basically the same thing that I did at Subaru Flat Fest in Madison and then at Subi Fest California a few weekends ago. So if you're here in the Houston area, or if you are traveling to the big event from somewhere else, come stop by, say hi, have a chat, and come check out Pearl too, because I will have Pearl next to my booth. So I look forward to seeing whomever can make it out to the big event. For now, go check out SubiAndYouPodcast.com. Click on the link right there, the button on the front page that says support the podcast, and come join Patreon, get some perks, get some behind the scenes info, and come join our awesome little Discord community. I promise it'll be worth it. So for now, let's go ahead and get into this episode with Anthony, aka Judy the Subi. Hear where it is that he is recording from, and then also hear about his build and his Subaru journey so far. So here we go. There we go. So this time I have Judy the Subi on the podcast. The driver's name is Anthony, and I had the pleasure of meeting you last weekend because we're recording on Saturday, September 24th. So it was a week ago and a day that we met for the first time.
Yeah, last Friday.
Yeah, you and Charlie came and picked me up from the airport, and that was very, very much appreciated. And y'all are very kind enough too. Like, hey, you want us to pick up some dinner for you so that when you get in the car, you can go ahead and eat?
So hey, like, you said you wanted that one spot. We were going to make sure that we had that for you. So yeah, we just wanted to make sure you were fed and everything. We knew your flight was coming in late. So
yeah. And I really appreciate that, man. That was the hospitality that I experienced from everybody, from you and Charlie and everybody out on the trails and SOA. I mean, it was that whole experience changed my outlook on the podcast and the people listening, because, you know, I've told you and I've told other people, it's hard for me to see it from the listener's side, you know, what yeah. it's like for people listening and what it means to you. And you all showed me what that's like. So,
yeah, dude, you're our celebrity, man. Like, that was super exciting to meet you.
Yeah. And it was, I mean, and for me too, it's like, I'm excited to meet all these people that get to get out on the trails together and, you know, have fun. Cause we, you know, I have friends here in Houston, but we don't have that kind of stuff here. I mean, I know some people have to drive like a couple of hours, or like, oh, I have to drive a couple of hours and I'm in the mountains. And I'm like, man, I'd be driving a couple of hours every weekend if it meant I would be in the mountains.
Yeah, if I wasn't so close, I would definitely be driving a while. It takes me about an hour and a half to get up to El Dorado Forest.
Okay.
And then about 2 hours to get up to Placer.
Yeah.
Placer County, like Bowman Lake area. But yeah, it's not very much.
So speaking of being out, tell everybody where you're at right now while you're recording.
I am currently in North Shore Lake Tahoe. If you can see everything, I'm surrounded by trees and green and sunshine. And just woke up, crawled out of the tent, grabbed my phone, and walked out here to talk to you, bud.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I don't record video, but you gave a nice description of it. So that was cool.
Yeah, it is beautiful. I love outdoors.
It's cool that you're out. I've recorded with one other person outdoors, but we were both outdoors. It was when I had Midlife Adventure on, and we were cruising around Cheeseburger Loop and here north of Houston, and we ended up pulling off, setting up his awning, setting up the podcast equipment, and recorded there on the trails. It was pretty cool.
I remember that episode. The motorcycles going by in the background.
Yeah, yeah. That was pretty cool. That was episode 30. So now, this is the first time I've recorded with somebody where they're outside.
Yeah, on the way out here, I was like, I need to have service. I would have driven back to the town if I needed to, or if I would have to see me.
Yeah.
Because Judy is currently in the shop.
Yeah.
Mountain Subi was kind enough to pick me up on her way out and pack along her passenger seat. So at least I could be out where I want to be.
Exactly. Yeah. So y'all got there last night for camping?
Yeah. We left my house from 3:30 here at 5:45 and then headed up into the trails, man.
Nice.
Found a good spot. Had a little campfire and sat around, had a few drinks. It was awesome. Had a fun time last night.
That's how you do it. So where did you come up with the name Judy for your Outback?
So when I was starting to name the car, I was told that it your vehicle should be an extension of yourself.
Okay.
Before I started the Subi build, I played a lot of video games. And we didn't use each other's real names on it. So I was Judy. We had Sally and we had Nancy. So those are the names we used. And if the car's an extension of me, I might as well use another name that I was being known by. So yeah, Big Booty Judy.
Yeah, there you go. And now, is this your first Subaru?
Yes, it is my first Subaru.
Okay.
I bought her back in early 2019.
And is it a 2019?
No, it's a 2017.
Okay. Okay. Gotcha.
She was 2 years old. She had 42,000 miles on her.
Yeah. That's not bad.
And I'll never forget it. The dealership, I actually went to look at an Infiniti. I was trading in a Jeep Renegade because it sucked. It sucked so bad. That thing sucked gas. It was a small tank. I was filling up like every other day. It was ridiculous.
Well, were we driving like 300 miles a day or something?
No, it got really crappy gas mileage. It was like 14 miles to the gallon on a 10-gallon tank. So I was driving 20-something miles to work one way. So about 2 days, 2-3 days. And yeah, gas tank was empty. The gas light was on. And I'd have to go refill.
Jeez, that's crazy, man.
Yeah. But I went and I was looking at an Infiniti. And I couldn't do the Infiniti. They said, well, we have this wagon back here. And I was like, well, let's go take a look. And as we turned around, the vehicle that was parked in front of it, I was like, no way. Yes, 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 yes. If I can get that, sign me up. We're in it.
Nice. Now, did you know anything about Subaru before you bought yours?
I had no, I mean, my mom had a 2016 Subaru Outback.
Okay.
And it was comfortable to drive. I loved the adaptive cruise control. I love traveling. So the adaptive cruise control was something that I really wanted.
Yeah.
Set that cruise control and just forget it and let her fly.
Yeah. So
but that's what made me want the Subaru in the first place. So when I turned around and I seen the cameras in the window and seeing the sunroof, and it was white, and she's just so pretty.
Yeah. Yeah. Until you get her all muddy, but then she's still pretty.
Oh, yeah. It's just a different kind of pretty. It's a dirty pretty.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. So I guess when you bought your Outback, you didn't know about the Subaru community then?
I had no idea. I had no idea that the community was out there, was like this. I live in Elk Grove, mm-hmm. California. So all I see is like older people, and you know, you try to give them the wave and
yeah,
it doesn't happen. Tuners, there's a lot of WRXs, but Outbacks and Crosstracks were the old people car.
Yeah. I know you didn't know about the community, and look at you now.
I know. I'm very well deep into it, and I'm enjoying every minute.
Yeah. So when and how did you find out about the community?
I decided I had to do something to the car. I had to, quote unquote, dude it up.
Yeah.
It was stock. I had the original everything on it, and I started Googling. The first thing that comes to my mind is when you want to dude up a car is you lift it and you put fat tires on it, right?
Yeah.
So I started Googling lifted Subarus, and oh my God, my page was the Google was flooded with them. And I was like, oh my God, it's a thing. It's an actual thing. Yeah. People have been doing this for a while. Started doing the research, and yeah, and I didn't find out about the actual community until after I had did my Instagram page, because I didn't do the Instagram right away. I think it was a few weeks after I had lifted it. My buddy was telling me that I should just make an Instagram page just to keep track of my progress mm-hmm. and what I've done.
Yeah.
It's a good memory book.
Yeah, to go back and look and see what you've done throughout time. Since you've owned it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I go back to the first picture every once in a while, and I look at what she was when I started, what she is now. And it's a very dramatic difference.
Yeah. So when you started your Instagram page, were you looking for other accounts? How did you start getting connected with other people?
I just started looking. I would Google the hashtag Subaru Outback or lifted Subaru, or I didn't even know about the Subi, you know, it wasn't even that. It was just fully spelling it out.
Yeah.
And just looking for everybody. I think you were like within the first 20 people I followed.
Oh, nice.
Because you had just started your page too.
Yeah. Pearl the Cross Track.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You started your page just, I think a little bit before me, but I wanted to get out there, man. I wanted to lift the Subaru. I wanted to see what it can do. I've had four-wheel drives before, but I'd never had an all-wheel drive, and I was anxious to see what it can do.
Oh, I found out what it could do last weekend. Because, like,
yeah, you did.
When we were I know you're talking about sending it through the mud, and like everybody was flying through the mud, but I actually like going slow through the mud because I like feeling and knowing that I'm sitting there in a bunch of mud. But I can slowly move forward and not get stuck. And I love that feeling. So
that's Subi power.
Yeah. So when I was in the mud pit and, you know, you had Charlie commentating, that was awesome, but it was fun.
Oh, his commentary was so funny.
Yeah. When did you start doing like other mods?
My first mod went in January 2nd. Of 2020.
And that was
It was the 2-inch ready lift leveling kit.
Yeah.
That was the first thing. And very shortly after that, I think I put the gold mountains on the side before I got the wheels. Mm-hmm. I used to have an underglow.
Yeah, I saw that.
Until I ripped it out. I ripped it out. It got caught on some stuff and, you know, driving through the snow and the muck. And I got out at one point and it was hanging. So I just ripped it out.
Where did the idea for the mountains come from in doing the decal?
I wanted something different. I wanted something that wasn't on everything. And I was so scared when I first ordered the bronze mountains.
Yeah.
I was so scared because it's a bold move. I mean, yeah. To go from white and throw these bright mountains on the side of it. I was scared. But I mean, it's vinyl. You can always peel it off, right?
Yeah, but it looks so good too.
It does. Turned out so well.
And it looks like it belongs. You know, it's like, yeah. It looks like this is supposed to be here.
Mm-hmm. No. Yeah, it took forever to put that on. I ordered it off Etsy. I think it took 3.5 to 4 hours to put on both sides.
Wow. Yeah. Worth it though.
100%. I wouldn't change anything about the decals on the sides at all.
Yeah. So when did you start thinking about other mods? Like what was kind of coming up in your head to do next? Because you did the lift, you did the decal, and you're like, oh, I mean, because we know how it goes. We know how it goes. You just like got to keep doing more and more.
It's very addicting. Right after the side decals, the mountains on the sides, it was wheels and tires. Ordered the LP Adventure 15-inch or 17-inch bronze rims.
Mm-hmm.
And then immediately went. The day I got them in, I drove right to the tire shop and put on the 245, 65, 17 Falcon Wild Peak AT3s.
Oh, nice.
I've been happy with them ever since.
So those are the ones that got punctured?
Yeah. Yeah.
Or at least the right
ones that got punctured. Yeah, just the one. I ended up with the exact same set when I visited the tire shop in L.A., they were trying to get me on some Firestone all terrains, and those were wimpy looking. There was no aggression to them at all. The sidewall was flat, and it was like minorly aggressive tread pattern.
Yeah.
So, and I was begging them. I was like, "Please tell me you got something else, because I'm gonna end up spending $1,000 on these tires, going home, taking them off, and putting something else on."
Yeah, you're not gonna be happy.
Then he asked me what I wanted, and I turned around and I said, "I got those right now." He said, "Let me see." And within a few minutes, he said, "I got you."
Nice.
Take us a little bit to get them, but I got you. That was at that tire shop for a few hours.
Yeah. Again, worth the wait.
100% worth the wait. Now I don't have to worry about buying new tires again.
Yeah. You have quite a few mods on there now. You've got some, you know, you've got lights and roof rack and your lift and wheels and tires. What other things have you done, and what things do you still intend to do?
So I have, when I first started all the lighting, I was ordering Amazon lighting because I wasn't sure the direction I wanted to go and where I wanted to put stuff.
Yeah.
So now that I know where I want to put stuff, I still got the Amazon Amber behind the grill. I got the Amazon 42-inch light bar on the top, on the roof rack, on the spider no drill. I just, a few weeks ago, put in the SSC2 diode dynamics as the fog lights.
Mm-hmm.
Because the ones I bought from Amazon crapped out, and I was winking at everybody going down the road. So,
yeah.
I decided it was a time for a change, and I liked where I had them. I just wanted them a little bit smaller. So I went with the SSC2s, and now hopefully I won't smash them as much going through trails.
Yeah, they're pretty durable.
Yeah, I hope so. They get knocked around quite a bit. So
yeah.
It's just hope.
Yeah. Oh, then that's because they're just kind of hanging there. Because when we went through the mud, one of them was pointing down and the other one was in the right spot.
Yeah, I should really get under there and tighten that thing down, but I procrastinate and I get caught up in other stuff and then I forget.
Yeah, it's okay. It seems to happen.
But I'd always loved the way the cross treks looked with the side mirror pod lights.
Yeah.
So I had been looking for those for so long, and then I finally found them. Found them on extremeledlighting.com.
Okay.
Ordered them that day, and I ordered lights to go on them the same day. And as soon as they came in, I ran everything, and I've been happy with them ever since.
There you go. What are the ones that you have up on top of your basket? Because I remember when y'all were coming to pick me up, Charlie said, tell him to look for the, or you told Charlie, look for the amber lights.
Yeah. The one I have on top of the is a, the middle is white and the outside is amber. It looks just like the one that you would order off of Spider No Drill.
Okay.
It looks exactly like that one. It's just a little bit bulkier. So I got the embers on the outside and then the spotlight in the middle.
Gotcha. Yeah, because I saw you coming and it was funny because like people were looking. They're like, what is this thing?
Yeah. Yeah. And I passed by the cops in the beginning of it and they all kind of turned and watched me drive by. I was like, oh, crap.
Yeah. Yeah, that was funny. And then what would you say has been your most useful mod?
Oh my God, the skid plates. I have smashed those things so many times. I've had to take them off and bend them out and bend them back. My trans skid plate is still currently sitting in my garage. I need to bend it back because I smashed it pretty good.
Is that when you went over the big rock?
I don't know if it was over the big, I think it was because as I came over, I kind of dropped and slid.
Yeah.
And I was on that rocker on that passenger side. So it might've been.
So I pulled out the audio clip from the video that I recorded of Anthony going down that spot and I had to include it in this episode. So here we go with that.
No.
I did get Anthony's permission to put that in the episode, so I hope you all enjoyed that little clip. Here we go, back to the episode.
But whatever I did later on down the trail that caused everything else was kind of the finished it, because I wasn't getting as bad of rattling until the tire thing.
Yeah. Yeah, it was fun, though.
Oh, 100%. I still wouldn't change a damn thing. I've been saying it this whole time, worth it.
Yeah, that was fun. Y'all made it worth it for me coming out there. And, you know, I was glad that I was able to come out on Friday so that I could head out there with y'all on Saturday. And just, I mean, it was so fun.
Yeah, we definitely wanted, I mean, me and Charlie were sitting there both. And I told everybody in the group before we left that Bay Area meet Thursday, I was like, we have to show him a good time. We have to show him that Cali love, the, you know, the Subi love from Cali. We got to show, it's got to be memorable. We need him to go back and talk about this for a while. And it worked.
Oh, yeah. 100%. Dude, I've been on such a high all week, you know, just from the whole weekend, from hanging out with y'all, from being at Subi Fest, from getting up in the DJ booth, which was crazy.
Yeah, getting a little bit out of your comfort zone there.
Yeah, but it was good. I mean, that's how you grow, you know. You do, yeah, do things that are uncomfortable. And, yeah. But I was thankful to have, I don't know who was down at my booth because I couldn't really see who was there. I just saw that there were people hanging outside of my booth, though. So I was thankful that I could see down there and see who was ever down in that area because it helped to keep me calm and composed and not nervous. So,
oh yeah, you had an entourage.
Yeah,
for sure. We were there was always a little group of people standing around your booth.
Yeah, and that was fun. That was cool. Everybody came.
Yeah, we all had a good time. Yeah, that's right.
And had used
good
it
conversation.
For shade.
We had. Yeah, definitely. Because it was warm. It was really warm that day.
Yeah, yeah, it was a good day.
Thankfully,
though,
you were next to the water because as soon as you walked over into like the car show area, it's like 10 degrees hotter.
Yeah. Yeah, there's nothing out there, just concrete.
Come sit in your shade and right next to the water. It was significantly nicer. And there's people taking naps on the side of your booth, man.
I know. I heard about that. Yeah. So you also did something else that may have been a little scary. Because you talked about the decals being scary. Like you were so scared. But you cut into your hood to put some hood loopers in.
Yeah, that was scary. I mean, you take a cutting tool to any kind of nice surface and it's nerve-wracking. I think I sat there for 30 minutes and then I'd start the cutter and I'd lean in to cut it and I'd lean back. It's, oh my goodness, just do it. Just do it. And I'd start the cutter and I'd lean in and I'd lean back. It was scary. Scary for sure. Seeing as how they don't really make outback louvers.
Yeah.
Those are Crosstrek louvers. So
okay.
It definitely scary. It's like, damn, do I put these in? And what if it looks bad? What if it doesn't come out right? What if they're crooked? That's a big one.
Yeah, you look at the front of your car and you're like, oh my gosh, how'd I do that? Because then once you cut it, that's it.
You cannot fix it. There is no fixing it. Yeah, new hood, and I guess try it all over again.
Did you have anybody helping you, or did you do it by yourself?
I had my buddy Lolo's Blueberry, my buddy Logan from work. He went over to his brother-in-law's house, and we did it in his driveway.
Nice.
I really don't have the cutting tool to do it, so I needed that tool, and he had it, so let's go.
Yeah, that's nice. It's good when you've got people that can help you out, you know, not with just tools, but just moral support too.
Yeah. When I put in the flat out, I was telling Project Susie Q, he allowed me to use his shop, and he's asked me, he's like, do you need any help? I was like, really, dude, I just need motivation. Just be here as my support. Yeah. Tell me if I'm doing something wrong, because I'd never done suspension before. Well, at least not like that. I lowered a Honda back in the day, but
yeah, different story.
Never like that. Yeah. I mean, I went 3 inches in the back, just over 2.5 in the front.
Nice.
Yeah I maxed good. Out my, maxed out my camber in the front. I had to go buy new camber bolts.
Gotta do what you gotta do.
Exactly. Make it work. I know people had done it, so.
Yeah. What is the premium 19-row cooling thing that you have?
Overlandish ADV, Skyler. You met him on the trip. He was the one in the fifth gen. He was one of the ones with the snorkel.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He had put a Mishimoto 19-row trans cooler and a 16-row engine oil cooler.
Okay.
And when I put my scan gauge in, man, it's crazy how warm the temperatures get. Like, my trans was steadily at, I think, 210, 215. And climbing hills and stuff, I was getting up to like 225. And you read everything is how Subarus run better cooler. So when I watched his video on him doing it, I talked to him about it and how much of a difference did it make, and how hard was it? Where'd you put it? And he ended up helping me. He helped me install. I got the Mishimoto white 19 row trans cooler, and I have a 10 row. It's Evil Energy is what the brand on Amazon was. It was the same one that he had got, but I got one a little bit smaller because he said that it was hard to fit his in.
Yeah.
So I got one a little bit smaller to try and make that easier. And I went over to his house one day and we spent, oh man, like 5-6 hours. Installing that. He's a really cool dude. He helped me get my car cooler. Now my temperatures are on a flataway, on a freeway. I think my trans is at like 189 and my oil is probably around the same, 189, 190. But that's on like a level surface. You start getting into hills and, you know, carrying a heavy load up a grade, and you know, they'll get up there. But I have, since I put those coolers in, I haven't seen my temperatures go above 215.
Wow, that's good.
The trans and oil, that is.
Yeah.
It stays, it keeps it really cool. And I am extremely happy for that, because take care of your car, that take care of you, right?
Yeah.
I need Judy to last, because I'm not done with her.
Oh, I'm sure. What does it mean with 19 row and 16 row and 10 row? I mean, I'm assuming that's like the number of coils that are there in the unit.
It's how many, if I'm not mistaken, it's how many rows of coils there is for the fluid to flow through.
Okay.
Like up and down, I think my, the 19 row, I'd say just a guesstimate. I mean, I haven't pulled my bumper off in a minute. It's been a minute since I've done it. It's probably inches by 11 or something like that. Okay. And then my 10 row is like 3 inches by 11. Same height. The width was different because of the 10 row versus a 19 row.
Yeah. So going back to your hood louvers, what's the purpose of that?
When I opened the hood to try and, you know, check oils and fluids and stuff like that, I was always getting hit in the face with just this heat ball. This is like engine heat, and you open it up and it was just wafting in your face. And I wanted to get rid of that engine bay heat. I needed it out. I wanted it out. I mean, it can't be good just marinating in there.
Yeah. So it just lets it dissipate.
Cooking all the rubber. Yeah. It gives it a way to escape.
Okay. Yeah.
And it does escape because, you know, sitting at stoplights and stuff, I can definitely see the heat waves coming off of it. And it makes me happy to see it leaving my car instead of marinating down there.
Yeah.
And I got the skid plate down there, and I'm sure that holds a lot of heat in. So,
yeah.
The cooler I can keep her, the better, right?
Yeah. No, that's good. I was looking at your bio, too. You have the NorCal Trail Seekers. How'd you get connected with them, and what's that group all about?
That was Dadwagon 2.5i, who now goes by Dadwagon WJ. He used to have a 2011 Subaru Outback that he lifted and everything like that, and he was kind of in the same boat. He had this car, and he wanted to do something else to it, and he's lifted it, and I found him like late January of 2020, and he hit me up Valentine's Day of 2020 and invited me out to Prairie City, our little OHV park out here. And he's like, let's go run through the mud. And I met him and his wife and his two kids and went out and had a great time. And he introduced me to a couple other Subarus. The Subarus that I used to wheel with, they didn't last very long. The dad wagon lasted the longest, but he's now in a Jeep Cherokee Atlas Peak Overlanding. He used to be in a 2019 Crosstrek that he had the Ironman lift and the Method wheels and the Prince U rack and all that stuff on. He traded his in for a 2016 Jeep Wrangler, the four-door, because he wanted more space.
Yeah, yeah.
And I told him he should have just got an Outback, but he was determined to go get a Jeep.
Yeah.
And then my other buddy, Smokey and the Bandit, he used to have a 15 Outback. But his dream was always to have an older 4Runner. That was just what he wanted.
Yeah.
And then he was the first one to get rid of his and buy the 4Runner.
Okay.
And then it was Harry, Atlas Peak. He got rid of his Crosstrek. And then Dadwagon finally retired Dadwagon 2.5, and he's now Dadwagon WJ.
So does that mean that the NorCal Trail Seekers are no more?
No, it wasn't necessarily just a Subaru group. We were going out so regularly that we wanted to call ourselves something. We were calling ourselves the Day Trippers for a long time.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And what's so funny is when Soft Road Nation NorCal dropped their chapter, we were in our chat that morning talking about when we should post that we're making this group.
Oh.
So when they dropped it, we were like, well, cat's out of the bag, man. Let's get it done.
Yeah.
Just send it out there. This is our group. We couldn't find one in the Sacramento area, and we didn't want to have to drive out to the Bay to meet up with other people. So created our own.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's been a blast ever since. I think really there's only four of us right now. It's Dadwagon WJ. It's Atlas Peak Overlanding. It's me and ETK 4Runner. He joined in a little bit later, but it's really just us four right now.
That's cool. Now, do you trail with Software Nation NorCal too?
I have not. I think that I haven't trailed with them at all yet.
They're a good group.
I want to. I've trailed with some of them, Subi Bob and Bat Rad Wagon and Coyote Trek. And
yeah, those guys are awesome.
Yeah, Skylar Overland just had invited me camping in and around Yosemite. So I went up there and I met them. That was a fun day too. I got to play in some mud and whip it around some corners and try some trails and beautiful views, good people.
Yeah.
Everyone just wants to have a good time, man.
This episode is brought to you by Melee Design Firm. They are your battery and battery mount specialists. If you are into rallying your Subaru, you need to keep your battery secure. That's where Melee Design Firm comes into play. Go check out their battery mounts. You can mount them in multiple locations. They also have a special edition Bucky Lassic battery mount. So go check out MeleeDesignFirm.com and get your battery mount or spruce up your engine compartment with some engine bay caps. Thank you, Melee Design Firm, for sponsoring the Subi and You podcast. This episode is also brought to you by Spider No Drill Roof Rack. If you're looking for rooftop storage solutions, this is a place to be. Go check out SpiderRoofRack.com and see what they have to offer for your Subaru. You can do like me and use it to keep your spare tire up there, or you can put up some storage boxes for camping gear or for recovery gear, whatever it is that you may need. It's also a great place to mount additional lights, like some side lights, chase lights, or a light bar in the front. You can use the code SUBIANU, all spelled out, to get 10% off of your Spider No Drill Roof Rack. Thank you so much for sponsoring the Subi and You podcast. And now, back to the show. What is your favorite terrain? Mud, snow, trails, sand?
I've never been in sand, but I mean, optimal would be not like deep water, but I like the slippy slidey through the mud.
Yeah, me too.
And just so just slightly mucky road and a straightaway and let me go. I like snow, but it's the only thing that I've ever been stuck in is snow.
Okay. Yeah.
I have yet to try snow with the flat out because that's only a couple months old, but I think it's like a month and a half old, but we'll see. Yeah. I'd always get high centered because I'm trying to follow Jeeps and Toyotas through the snow, and I'd get high centered and someone would have to pull me out and I'd have to dig out my frame and all that stuff. So
yeah, maybe this will help now.
Yeah. Mud. Definitely. Like a nice mucky road would be perfect for me.
Yeah. I've driven through sand one time because there's an off-road park here north of Houston. Excuse me. I had to burp. and I had my car for about 3 weeks and I took it out to this park and drove around, and it was funny because the guy, and I had nothing on my car. It was 100% stock, you know, so I didn't have any AT tires. I didn't have any way to air back up if I aired down. I knew about airing down, but I didn't really know a whole lot about it.
It took me a long time to get the guts to air down. I was doing trails for the first like 2 months at 40 pounds.
Oh my God.
And it's bouncing everywhere.
Oh, it's so much more comfortable when you air down. And it's just better.
100%.
Yeah. So the guy at the booth was like looking at my car and he said, I said, am I going to be okay coming in here? And he was like looking and he said, I haven't been told, or I've been told that I'm not to turn anybody away. And he said there was an all-wheel drive Mercedes that had come in there and tore it up, you know, the weekend before or something. So he's like, good luck. So I went driving. I went driving around through some of the sand and it was kind of soft and it felt weird driving through it. I never got stuck, thankfully, but I was by myself. I didn't know anything about.
Yeah, you don't want to push your limits when you're by yourself.
Yeah. So there was this one spot where it looked like it was getting pretty soft and deep. And so I decided to turn around, but it made it through everything just fine. So that was good. But that's
we'll have to get you back out there.
Yeah, I want to go back out there.
The tires.
Yeah, so because and now that I've got a compressor, But because there's some people here in Houston that I've mentioned it to them. I'm like, hey, we need to go up to this park. I think it could be fun. Because there's a lot of side-by-sides and Jeeps and really big trucks. I mean, it's this park is designed more for bigger vehicles and side-by-sides and stuff. But my tiny little, you know, 100% stock Subaru Crosstrek made it through some stuff. Now I've got a lot more confidence. I've got skid plates. I've got tires. I can air down. And I want to go with other people that hopefully have some recovery gear.
Yeah.
Well, and then I have the Go Treads. So if I got stuck in some sand and I needed to use those, that'd be interesting to see how well those work.
Yeah, I'm sure those will work fine. I've seen a couple of videos of people using them and they seem to work just fine.
Yeah. And I had them on the podcast, so that was cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember that episode.
Yeah. What is the Finesse lifestyle? Because that's in your bio also.
Yeah. Before NorCal Trail Seekers, when I first started talking about doing the mods and stuff, my buddy again from work, Lolo's Blue Baru, he had a sticker in his window and I asked him, I said, what is the FL? And just said FL in the bottom corner of his windshield. He's like, oh, it's a car group that I joined. And I'm like, oh, that's cool, man. Do you think they'd take an Outback? You know, I know you guys are street cars, but I'm not going low. I'm going high. They were like, he was like, yeah, you could come out and meet the guy. And I went out and meet him. And I'm completely different from everybody there. I pull in with the stickers and the Fantasy Lifestyle across the back, and I get the double looks. But it's Fantasy Lifestyle. That? Yeah. Fantasy Lifestyle is the city car group.
Okay.
It was the first people, the first ones that I started hanging out with. I told myself I had to start getting out, and I was tired of sitting in and playing video games, and I wanted to get out and start doing something, and that was the opener.
Wow, that's good. And now you can't get enough of getting out.
Yeah, he actually asked me to be the vice president of the group, the quote unquote vice president of the group. So I'm like the second in charge with that right now.
That's cool.
Yeah. It's all right. I haven't seen him in quite some time because I'm always out in the woods and the wilderness and out here doing
what you love.
Doing Subi things. Yeah. I mean, I couldn't past almost 2 years of my life, man, has been a whirlwind of nothing but good times and great adventures and good people.
Yeah. Seems like you've been around a lot, just hitting trails and stuff. Where have been some of your favorite places to explore?
I loved going up to Washington, for the Big Northwest meet. I did that earlier this year. I have family up there. So once a year, me and my family, my mom and my uncle will drive up and visit. And, last year with Charlie was the first time I was actually out on a trail out there, and it's gorgeous out there.
Yeah.
People say it's pretty here, and I mean, they're not lying. It is pretty, but it's a different kind of pretty out there.
Yeah.
But that's been a fun place to go to. I love Bowman Lake is awesome. That's up, just past Auburn here in California. Yeah. I drove the coast back. That was pretty cool. Yeah. I really, really enjoyed that. I wish I could have done the entire thing all the way down.
I've done a pretty good part of that for when we were doing some work. We were in LA and then we drove over to, I don't remember where we hit the coast, but we drove over through somewhere, drove up the coast and we ended up going up to San Jose, but we like stopped by Big Sur on the way. And I mean, it was beautiful.
That's somewhere I want to go. I've heard a lot of good stories about Big Sur, and I want to see as much as physically possible in the little time we all have on this earth, right? There's so much to see and try something new. I am there.
Yeah.
If I can make it, I'm there.
Yeah. I mean, you got to go for it, you know?
Yeah. Adventure is not going to come to you, you know? The fun isn't going to come to you. You got to go out and you got to chase it. And I am more than happy to chase it.
Yeah, and I'm just, again, I'm so thankful that I was able to make it out there. You know, because I've been to Boxer Fest, I went up to Subaru Flat Fest in Madison, Wisconsin, and then now I've been out to Subi Fest, California. I went up to Washington with my son and hung out with Rugged Root Crew. So I feel very...
You got to drive Falcon Roo.
Yeah, I got to drive the Millennium Falcon. I got to drive Judy. Yeah. I got to drive Silver Bullet XV.
Yeah, you're getting a little bit of wheel time with everybody, man.
Yeah, and I drove Jay, who goes by Audiophile. I drove his STI. And then let's see.
Oh, that was must have been so much fun.
That thing has got so much power. And then
I've seen some of his videos of his track times, and I was like, oh, it looks so much fun, but yeah. I'd get in trouble with the fast car.
Yeah. And I did a ride along with him too at up at Flat Fest. So that was cool. And then after we were all out on Sunday, yeah, after Subi Fest, I went out to dinner with Christina, who goes by Lane Drifters, Eric, who's the owner of Dark Matter X, and Leah, who goes by Sonic STI 2018, mm-hmm. and then Sky, who goes by Blanco Racing WRX05, and then I don't know if it's her husband or her boyfriend, but anyway, we all went out to dinner, and then Christina took me home in her Legacy, and it's a manual, and it's got a turbo, and like a bigger turbo than it came with, and she let me drive it a little bit. I was like, oh, yeah, this is so fun.
Yeah.
And I drove it like I drove your cars, you know, I wasn't timid, and she was like, wow, I'm really impressed, like, you're not afraid to drive this car. I'm like, of course not.
Heck no. And there's a familiarity when you get into a different Subaru. It's like stepping on your own lawn. You know how it's going to handle. It's going to handle great, and it's going to be an awesome car. So you get in and go, man.
Yeah. So it's nice to be able to experience off-road and then fast on-road.
Yeah. Street versus off-street.
Yeah. I want to do some more street, though. It'd be nice to drive some more faster cars.
Yeah.
But I digress. Let's get back into this thing. do you have any bucket list places that you want to go explore?
I want to go to Moab. I want to go to Moab so bad. I've seen so many videos of it. I'd love to hit Death Valley, Big Sur, everything. Anything that I haven't done yet, it's on my list. I definitely want to do
Sedona
as much as I can.
Sedona and Arizona is nice too. Flagstaff is nice. All that area up in there.
Yeah. I was talking to ETK 4Runner about doing the Overland Expo in Arizona next year.
I would like to go to that one as well.
Yeah. He was really excited about it. And I told him, I was like, man, I'm down. You know, I'm down. Let's go.
Yeah.
We can drive out. It'll be a fun trip. We can maybe make it happen.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I would really like to make it out there if I can. What's the furthest distance? Speaking of going out there, because that would be a good drive for you. What's the furthest distance you've driven so far?
So I've been sitting here long enough, the wildlife's starting to come around me.
Yeah, that's awesome.
When I did the Washington trip up to Big Northwest, when I got back into my driveway, it was just over 2,200 miles.
Yeah, that's a good drive.
Yeah, I think that's the longest I've driven Judy. I think everything else has been, you know, 1,200, 1,300, 1,500, but the 2,200, that was the longest I've done.
Yeah.
As of right now, that will change, I'm sure.
So you also, I mean, you talked about getting out and you like to go out. How often do you try to get out, and do you go camping often?
As much as I physically can. If I can make it out into the woods on a weekend, I'm gone. People know that, everyone that knows me knows that my weekends are usually no cell service, deep woods, out playing.
Yeah. Unless you're recording a podcast episode.
I had to make sure I was in a good reception area for this, for sure.
Yeah.
I wasn't going to miss an opportunity to talk to you again.
No, that's awesome. Yeah, I know. It's cool to have you on again because I've had you on my list for a long time. And, you know, especially since you and Charlie are such good friends and I had him on a long time ago, you know, it was like you were coming up and it was perfect timing having come out there and getting to see you. And then it's like, you know what? He's coming up on my list. Let's do this.
Yeah. Love that guy, man. Charlie's such a good dude. I told him he could hit me up anytime telling me he's ready for adventure. Come on over. You're always welcome in my passenger seat. You are too, man. Anytime you want to come down, like I told you the other day, I got your room. I got your adventure waiting.
Yeah.
All you need to do is get here.
Yeah, I know. I'm looking forward to getting out there again. So yeah. It'd be fun. So you bought your Outback with 42,000 miles. How many? And so that was in what, 2019, you said?
Yeah, early 2019. It's got, she's got 108,000 now.
Okay. That's not bad.
Yeah. I really don't count the beginning of it because I wasn't driving, but back and forth to work. And like I said before, I was playing a lot of video games. So it was like back and forth to work. And then that was it.
Yeah.
My adventure miles started. I think I had like 55,000 or something like that in the beginning of January 2020. Something like that. It's on my little tire receipt that I got. And I save all my receipts.
Oh,
that's but cool. That's when my adventure mileage started. And I crossed over 100K 2 months ago, 3 months ago, something like that. I made a little post about it because it's, you know, such a big mile marker.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. And then are there any other things that you enjoy doing, like outdoor activities or just hobbies or anything besides getting out to the trails and camping?
No, that's pretty much it. But
that's good though. That's
put me out in the woods. One. We trail for the whole day. We usually have a campsite that we go back to. So we'll set up camp, you know, late Friday night, spend all day Saturday trailing, and then come back and have a little party Saturday night, then trail a bit on the way out Sunday.
Now, were you doing any outdoor activity like this before you bought your Outback? Because I know you said you had a Jeep before, but were you doing any kind of camping or anything anywhere before you got into this lifestyle?
Very little. Very, very little. I think I'd been camping maybe a handful of times before I got the Subaru.
Yeah.
I took that Jeep through a couple mud puddles and, to say the least, it did not hold together very well. I lost pieces off the back bumper. I lost fender, the cladding because of the fender. I lost the license plates. It did not hold together very well. That car just kind of crumbled as soon as I hit that mud puddle. But it is what it is. I guess, like I said before, you can't really know the limits of your vehicle until you hit them.
Yeah, well, that actually rolls perfectly into my next question, is what has surprised you the most about your Outback and its capabilities?
Man, I have followed Jeeps. I've followed Toyota Tacomas. I've followed 4Runners. I had a buddy. He goes by, his name is Al, and he has a bulletproof diesel, a 3/4 ton diesel that he got stuck in the sand. And I was determined to try and pull him out. And I had two different people come up to me and tell me it was a bad idea, that I was going to rip shit apart. I was going to break it. It was a bad idea. But you know what? One good tug, I had that sucker out.
There you go. Nice.
Yeah, man. The video of that was awesome. You can hear everybody, all the Toyota boys in the background going, "What the fuck?" It's so funny.
Yeah.
But yeah, just the ability of it. There's been very few places that I've been able to get into. I mean, I pulled up to Wentworth Springs Campground, the original entrance to the Rubicon, and that's a gnarly trail getting up there. And I pulled over because I couldn't make the staircase. I had too much bumper. So I pulled over and I was waiting for my friends to come back out because obviously they went up in to play a little bit, and they came back out. But I was sitting there and I was having a beer, and this lady in a Jeep pulls up and goes, "Are you okay?" And I was like, "Yeah, I'm just waiting for my friends to come out." And she goes, "I am so surprised that you made it all the way up here." And I couldn't help but laugh. It was so funny. People see a Subaru and they don't imagine it being capable. So
yeah,
when you go out and you do something that shocks them, it's funny. I've had Jeeps pull me over and go, I've seen you. You were over at Sterling Lake. You remember? Yeah, we were cutting down the Christmas tree. Yeah, I remember seeing you. Yeah, it gets noticed everywhere.
Yeah, and I've had people on, too, that have said they'll be going up to some kind of a trail and they have Jeeps and, you know, they'll pass by Jeeps and Toyotas and stuff, and they're looking at them like, "What are you doing here?" Like, we're going
the,
up,
the
too.
The point and laugh.
Yeah.
The point and laugh is very common until I come up and pull them out.
Yeah, there was some smack talk that was going on when we were going up those hills.
I couldn't believe that. There was lady driven Jeep, and they were mad talking Subarus. Like, it was like, "You shouldn't be here. What do they think they're doing?" And I'm like,
they're making it up.
They're doing it. Yeah, they're doing it. There's nothing. Even the stock Forester, Demon Forester, he was going up it, and he's completely stock.
Yeah, he was like, and he was like not being timid either. He was like, he was just going up the, because there were some like spots that you had to drive up. They were pretty steep. And then there was that other spot that everybody was trying to get up. And it was a spot that you came down and smashed your bumper and your rock slider. And then he came down that spot. And I was like, "Oh my gosh." And I think he came down maybe after you did that. And I was like, "This dude is insane."
Hey, like I said before, you don't know your limits until you hit them. So
he did pop some stuff off, but he was like, this is the last time before I'm going to lift it. So he sent it, man, all day long.
Hey, I pop stuff off regularly. Every time you guys drove through that mud puddle, man, my front bumper popped off.
Yeah, I remember that.
Full Force Metalworks is in my future.
Hey, there you go. Nice.
I love their bumpers. I love that they're lightweight and I'm not adding hundreds of pounds to the front of my car. And I need a high clearance rear bumper and I need a front bumper. So
there you go.
As soon as I'm done paying off the flat out and all the repair costs from this last weekend, I'm definitely going I'll definitely hit them up and get that started. I think I'm going to do the rear bumper first. Because I tear that thing up so much.
Yeah, that might be a good idea.
All my backup sensors are just dangling in the bumper because they've been pulled out and fallen off and just mud and dirt covered.
Yeah.
It's time.
Yeah. Have you gotten into, or what has been like the most sketch situation you've been in?
Oh my goodness. This was the hard one because...
they're all sketch.
So, yeah, I push the limits. I really try to find out what it can and can't do. So earlier this year, New Year's Eve, me and a couple buddies were heading to Mendocino because, I mean, who doesn't want to be in the woods having a drink with your friends? So we were heading up and I wanted to go to this one spot that dropped down onto a flat surface. It was a nice flat surface. I did it for my birthday a few months before and it was a really, really cool spot. But I was coming up, we were making our way and it was so much snow and I was going up and the road kind of goes up and tilts right. So you're sliding towards your passenger side. Well, as I hit that, my whole front end slid like pointing off road, like off the road, the cliff, right off the side.
Whoa.
I puckered. I puckered. I stopped. I put it in neutral. I set the e-brake and immediately hooked up and had someone pull me out of it because I wasn't getting out of it by myself.
Yeah.
That was my very first time being stuck.
Yeah.
But that was probably the most sketchy situation. Yeah, and I couldn't turn around because it was there was so much snow and it hadn't been packed. We were making probably the first half dozen vehicles to go through there, so we were kind of making our own our own path. So I had to back down like 3 miles down that road until we got to a place where I could turn around. Yeah, I didn't want to risk the it was a cliff right off the passenger side. So
yeah, that's crazy, man.
Definitely did not want to.
That was the hardest it off pucker. The cliff.
No, I don't want to send it out the cliff. I love Judy. She's been good to me. I'm trying to be good to her, but I definitely want to see what she can and can't do. But that's definitely the sketchiest part.
Yeah.
I think that was definitely the... Whew. Damn. Yeah.
So since owning your Subaru and you get out a lot and everything, do you have like a Subi best friend?
I would have to say between Lolo's Blue Baru, he's got his WRX. So we have like this, and he's wanting to put a bunch of lights on it and stuff. And we work together. So that's that. And I would really have to say Charlie.
Yeah.
Subi best friend. He comes and he rides and we stay in really close contact. And I mean, all my Subi buddies are my best friends though. I don't know, but I keep in contact more with Logan, and me and Charlie just talk a lot, constantly messaging each other. And anytime he wants to go out, like I said, he hits me up and we go.
Yeah. So there's something that I haven't really asked it too much because it just, I don't know. But because you and Charlie have talked so much about it to me, which really, really means a lot. And this is where the whole, I kind of get a taste and a glimpse of what the podcast means to you and, you know, and to Charlie. But I guess talk a little bit about how the podcast has impacted your life.
I never would have met Ninja. I mean, you can't really say never because Instagram, right? They throw random people at you, but the podcast definitely sped that up for me. Listening to Mandy Ranger Rue on your podcast and then hitting her up, and then she put me in a chat with Dorothy Ninja Outback when I was going up last year, and then getting to meet them all at the boba meet. And, that was all because of the podcast. It all started because I had heard Mandy's episode, and we had talked a little bit before about running wires. And she was the first person I hit up when I was going up to Washington. I hit her up and I was like, I'm going to be there. I want to meet everybody. So it definitely sped it up, man. I wouldn't be as in depth in the community as I am if it wasn't for your podcast.
Yeah.
Me and Charlie, I mean, we told you at Subi Fest, man, me and Charlie wouldn't be as close as we are.
How did you find out about it? Because I'll have people say, oh, hey, I found out about your podcast. Just started listening. You know, I'm binging all the episodes or as many episodes as I can this weekend, which that's always really cool. Like I just had somebody message me earlier today. I just finished episode 64 and he messaged me for the first time, like maybe a month ago or something. And he's like, oh, I'm just listening to every episode. I love it. And, you know, and I'm like, I try to be like very humble and not be like, yeah, I know my podcast is awesome. But
because it is awesome.
But see, it's like, I kind of feel like it's not my place to say the podcast is awesome. It's everybody else's place to say that it's awesome, if you know what I mean. But so all the messages that I get and everything, like, I'm finally getting to that point to where I'm like, okay, I guess it is awesome. You know, it's like, I'm starting, like I said, I don't see it from the listener side, and so it's hard for me to understand it from that side, you know?
Yeah. It's you're like a celebrity in the Subi community. Anyone that's been listening to your podcast from the get go, I was following you when you first put out that you were like, I'm thinking about doing a podcast. And yeah, if you go that. Back into our, if you go back into our chat, like back a ways, you can see that conversation.
Yeah.
I think it was in our chat.
Could have been.
I told you, I was like, I will follow you, that I'll listen to every episode. And I've missed a Subi scoop or two, but I have listened to every episode since then, from your very first one to Rugged Roamer all the way through.
Yeah, it's so cool to know that people have been listening from the very beginning. You know, it's
yeah.
And I'm getting up to, I'm releasing episode 91 on Monday, which is crazy. Yours is going to be episode 92.
Oh, but, man, that's yeah. crazy to think.
Yeah,
it's been almost 2 years, man. That was beginning of January. It was like right after I started following you is when you started talking about doing the podcast.
Yeah, because I bought my car in September of 2020, and then I mentioned doing the podcast like probably in November or something, because I had the idea for it very early on, and then it was Jen that I convinced to be my first guest, and then
yeah.
once I put her episode
Accenture
out,
designs.
Yeah, it just blew up.
Yeah, it's because everyone loves hearing everyone's stories. And that I love hearing everyone's stories, how they got started, where they're going, what they want to do. And every once in a while, you can hear that's like, oh, man, that sounds really cool. I like that mod. And then you hit them up. Hey, can I bite off of this? Do you mind if I do the same mod?
Yeah.
I've hit people up about their stickers. She's not on anymore, or at least I can't find her. It was Masshole 3.6.
Yeah.
She had a sticker in her back window and it says, "So sorry for sorry for driving so close in front of you." I was laughing so hard, and I hit her up and I was like, "Can I please have my friend's wife make this sticker?" And she was like, "Heck yeah." But she ended up getting, unfortunately, you know, you run into those jerks online, and she was getting harassed, and it got to the point where she had changed her name so many times and she just cut it off. She deleted the profile, and
that sucks.
I haven't been able to find her since. There's something climbing a tree behind me. but I haven't seen her since, so I'm pretty sure that jerk completely chased her offline.
Yeah,
which is very unfortunate, because she had a nice car. It was a fifth gen, and she had the chocolate brown one.
Yeah,
a really pretty Java color.
Yeah, like Java wagon.
Yeah, yeah, that one. Ah, such a good color.
Yeah,
I love it.
Well, you've had Judy for about 2.5 years. How has your life changed since you first brought her home? And how has owning your Subaru and being part of the community changed your life?
Extremely changed. Like I said, I was sitting inside and I was playing video games, and the Subaru has opened a new life, a new outlook. You know, hanging around Toyota boys and for a while. You know, some of them are assholes. You always run into those. I have not met an off-road Subi asshole. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Everyone's so kind and accepting, and we all want the same thing. Just come have a good time.
Yeah.
It's gotten me out of the house. The last 2 years has been so awesome. So awesome. I wouldn't change anything about it.
And
I love where I'm at.
And yeah, you live in a good spot, man.
Yeah. I'm right in between a bunch of different areas, so it's easy for me to just hop in and go to the woods. I mean, I don't have very many Subi people in SAC, but they're not very far away.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. It's good. I mean, it's like we've said, you know, I think a common theme is like, it's worth it, you know? So if you have to drive a little ways to meet up with people, then it's worth it.
And the gas mileage. And I'm doing the same thing as Jeeps are doing, and I'm getting 22 miles to the gallon still on the freeway. You know, it makes it affordable and doable.
Yeah, that's important.
Even with a 3-inch lift and 30 tires.
I think that's one of the really cool things about what the podcast has done is not just hearing people's stories and where they started, but, you know, like you said, getting people connected, because if you listen to it, you might be like, oh, I didn't know this person was only like a few miles away.
Yeah.
But also just hearing the way that being in this community and owning a Subaru has changed somebody's lives. And then there could be different things that you're going through that other people can relate to, you know, and it's good to hear the humanity behind somebody's build and an account and just, you know, the person.
Where it started and how far it's come. Yeah.
Yeah. And you are very passionate, obviously, about owning your Subaru. Do you see yourself always owning a Subaru? Because you have friends.
100%.
Yeah, because you have friends that had Subarus and now they have a Jeep or something else. So,
oh, they can have fun with their Jeeps and Toyotas. My next Subaru, I want, I'm going to build an Ascent.
No, nice.
I want that extra cabin space.
Yeah.
So that'll be my next one.
Yeah. And so speaking of that, like, kind of, where do you see your Subaru journey going into the future?
As far as she'll take me.
Yeah.
I mean, Judy will be my ride or die for a long time until I either blow up the engine or wreck it. So,
yeah. And with all the camping that you do, do you ever see yourself doing rooftop tent camping?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't want it in the beginning, but I borrowed one doing the Big Northwest meet. I borrowed it from Overlandish. No, not Overlandish. I'm sorry. Atlas Peak Overlanding.
Okay.
And I loved it, dude. I had you fold your blankets up in there. You take your pillow out and you are set up and ready to go in minutes.
Yeah. The convenience.
I think
factor
a rooftop tent is perfect for travel camping.
Yeah.
You know, if you're not going to be in the same spot two nights in a row, rooftop tent, 100%.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's a lot of people that use them. And because I always thought it would be kind of cool, because I think they look cool and the convenience factor, getting up off the ground and everything. But I never go tent camping, so it wouldn't do me any good.
Yeah. I only tent camp. I usually sleep in the back of the car. I'll tent camp when I know I'm going to be spending a couple of days in the same area.
Oh, okay.
Like when Charlie came down, I took him up into El Dorado Forest near Ice House, and I did a tent because we were going to be in the same spot for two solid days. So you do the tent and you leave all your stuff there, and it makes lightens up the car a little bit for the drive.
Yeah.
But I mean, even rooftop tents, the one I borrowed was only like 125 pounds, something like that. I mean, I've put more in her than that, and she did just fine all the way up and back.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's definitely convenient and I'm sure very comfortable.
Yeah. Some of them don't have the pad. He had an aftermarket pad, or it was like a 4-inch memory foam pad in it, and it was very comfortable.
Nice. Yeah.
Definitely a rooftop tent in my future.
Yeah.
After bumpers, because that's a little bit more important.
Yeah. Yeah. What was your experience like at Big Northwest and at Subifest?
Big Northwest wasn't as big as Subifest, I don't feel like. It was cool seeing everybody go around the rally track. It was really cool watching everybody do that.
Yeah.
It was very dusty, but it was cool. It was, I mean, definitely an experience worth doing. Can't wait to see where they do it next year, because I'll probably go again.
Yeah.
And then the camping and the trailing afterwards. And yeah, I think we had 22 rigs go on a post Big Northwest trip. That's... Yeah. That picture where we go. And we're on like at the end of a road and it just drops off and there's big rocks and everybody's parked there. There's 20 Subarus, a Nissan Frontier, and a 4Runner.
Man, that's awesome.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
That's cool, yeah.
And then Subi Fest, I mean, you go down and it's the same thing. It's just different trails, right? Instead of doing it after, we did it before. I probably would have done it after if I hadn't messed my car up so bad.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a good weekend.
All yeah. Around. Yeah. It's always worth the trip. Always worth it.
Yeah. Is there anything else that we didn't talk about that you would like to talk about?
I don't know, man. We covered quite a bit. If you don't drive a Subaru, get one.
Yeah, that's the moral of the story.
Yeah, yeah. Go get one because it's life-changing.
It is. I mean,
I couldn't see myself anywhere else.
Yeah, and you know, you buy this car and sometimes for some people, they know there's a community. They've been Subaru fans their whole lives and they want to get mm-hmm. a Subaru and they know about modding it. And so that's the purpose for getting it. Other people like you, like me, you buy this car because like, oh, that's the car I want. Or, oh, hey, I didn't think about that, but you know, your mom owned one. And so you were familiar with it. And then you find out about this community and it's almost like it's no longer about the car, really. It's about the people that you're with because you can mm-hmm. be with people your whole life, but there's just something about Subaru people.
Man, the demeanor is different. The attitudes are different. Everyone just seems to be happier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
I love the community, man. I love how willing everybody is to help each other out, like Mountain Subi doing that extensive drive to get me the spare.
Yeah.
And then doing the drive down to go and get Milton on a tow truck and meeting at the house. And we got him swapped over to a different trailer and his buddy that came down from Washington to pick him up. This community has always been willing to go above and beyond to help out the next Subi.
And it's almost like there's no question. This is like, what do you need? I'll be there.
Yeah. Yeah. Where are you? Send me your location. I'm on my way.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I said it in at the beginning of one of my episodes a long time ago. And I said, like, I've solved world peace. Everybody just needs to buy a Subaru.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. A few weeks me and Carrie drove up to Tahoe because SLT Trek smashed her trailing arm. Smashed it too. Like she got it good. I had to hammer that thing out. But was able to come get her back up and going and did a little trail and drove home. That was all in one night right after work.
Wow. Yeah.
It's just the willingness to help the next guy or girl.
Yep. Yep. That's a big deal too.
Yeah.
Oh, we got cut off again. You were starting to say that it's comforting knowing
that you have that support. And it doesn't matter where you are. You have that support, like 909 Serbi. Mm-hmm. I had never met the guy before, but he gave me a full size spare.
Yeah.
We were able to meet up after I got the tires. He came and got it and I was on the road back home.
Yeah.
Never met the guy before, but he was willing to give up an entire tire for me.
Yeah.
That's the kind of community it is.
Yeah. A great community to be a part of too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I said, I couldn't imagine myself anywhere else.
Well, I want to thank you for taking the time. Being there I guess you're in the mountains to do this or in the forest at least, and, you know, be a guest on the podcast and take up part of your Saturday morning.
Oh, it's worth it. Worth it.
I'm glad.
I'd do it again in a heartbeat.
Yeah. Well, it was nice meeting you in person finally. And it was great getting to hit the trails and then also drive Judy through the mud many, many times. That was a lot of fun. And gave me some good content.
I'm actually going to buy Oh yeah, it gave you a lot. I'm actually going to go buy a Mountain Subi shirt and wash my car with it and send it to Silver Forester. He was talking about how he wanted one with mud on it, and I'd be more than happy to oblige that.
There you go. That's the way you do it. I bought one when I got back, so to support her.
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
So, it's a good team. Good team to support. It's a good reason to.
Yeah. All right. Well, have a good day. Tell everybody I said hello, and go have some fun.
Oh, I will. And passenger seat. It's a whole new experience, man.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, for me too, because I'm usually driving Pearl. So.
Yeah, ditto. The whole drive up here, I kept saying, I was like, man, this is different. This is new. I'd never noticed that before.
Yeah, it is nice when you don't have to drive and you can like really, especially when you're somewhere beautiful. Like the first time I went to Colorado, I had to drive because the guy I was working with was like, oh, I'm gonna work while you drive us up into the mountains. And I'm like, this sucks. Like, this is my first time being in the mountains like this and I have to drive.
Yeah, but it kind of takes away from the experience, and it's a whole new experience when you can take a gander.
Yeah, definitely. So, all right, man, you have a good day, and I will talk
to you
later.
Same?
I will.
All right, bud.
Okay.
Later.
Bye. Bye,
speak. Speak. Speak.
Oh, my gosh, they're running.
Yeah, they're running over to see you. This is Sierra at SLT Trek.
Hey.
And, of course, you know Carrie Mountain Subi.
Hello. Yeah,
these
we're finished.
Trail buddies for the weekend.
Nice. We're finishing off this one with some guests.
Yeah, just a few.
Local tour guide.
Local tour guide. Just showing us the ropes.
Yeah, that's good, man. We all have fun.
We will. Bye. Yeah.
Bye, everybody. Well, that was a fun episode. I hope everybody enjoyed it. And if you're not doing so already, go follow Judy the Subi and also follow SLT Trek and Mountain Subi, since they were on this episode too there at the very end. So everybody have a great week. Thanks again, Anthony, for being a guest. Thanks for taking some time out of your Saturday when you were out there to be camping and having a good time. Thank you for taking the time to record. I really appreciate that. It was great to have you on, and I look forward to talking to more people and bringing you more episodes. Even though this is episode 92, I kind of feel like it's only just beginning. So lots more to come, many more guests. Let's see where this thing's going to go. Go join Patreon at subinupodcast.com. Thanks for listening. Have a great week. We'll see you on Wednesday for the Subi Scoop, and then another episode next Monday. Let's keep this thing going. Adios, everyone.